Module 2, Scouting for Elk, Chapter 2, Scouting with Google Earth. In my opinion, Google Earth is the most powerful online mapping resource available to elk hunters. I'm able to see everything I'm looking for from an aerial 3D perspective, not unlike hopping in a plane and flying over the area. It provides a bird's eye view of satellite imagery, maps, and terrain, all available without ever leaving the comforts of your home. From this perspective, I can identify water sources, feed sources, bedding areas, even down to details such as game trails, access roads, photos of the area, and much more. Likely areas for finding elk can be identified through this virtual scouting, which allows you to maximize your limited resources and focus actual on-the-ground scouting in those areas that hold the most potential. If you don't have Google Earth, you can download it for free. There's a website version as well as an app that can be downloaded to your device. Again, for the links and to be able to link directly to the download for Google Earth, visit the website or the app version of the online course. Google Earth is packed full of many powerful tools, but there are a few that specifically come in handy for scouting. There are four navigational controls found in the top right-hand corner of the page that allow you to zoom, pan, tilt, and move around the area you are scouting. The top controller is the North Up button. By clicking on the N on the outer ring, you can spin the view around the center point of the viewing area. You can also simply click on the N again to immediately bring your perspective back to North Up at any time. On the inside of the North Up button, you'll find the Look joystick. It's an eyeball surrounded by four arrows that allows you to pan from side to side, left to right, as well as tilt the view from top to bottom. When you first start Google Earth, the default view is a top-down view, which is looking straight down on the topography. By clicking on the top arrow of the Look joystick, you can gain a 3D perspective of the area and bring elevation features such as mountains and ridge lines to life. Once you've tilted the view so you are looking at a particular object, such as a hill, you can also rotate around that object by using the left and right arrows on the Look joystick. When you do this, the object remains in the center of the view, but you're able to look at it from different perspectives, such as north, south, east, west, as you rotate around it. The next controller located below the North Up button is the Move joystick. It has a hand in the center of the button that is also surrounded by four arrows. You can use the Move joystick to pan your position from one place to another. Clicking on an arrow on the Move joystick will provide a flyby in the direction you are scanning. With the tilt turned on, the top arrow in the Look joystick, and an eye altitude or view of 20,000 feet, this gives you a perspective similar to flying over the area in a plane. As you identify possible areas worthy of a closer look, you can then use the zoom slider to zoom in or out. The zoom slider is the bottom navigation controller, and as you move closer to the ground, Google Earth automatically tilts to change your viewing angle to be parallel to the Earth's surface. You can turn off the automatic tilt by going into Tools, then Options, then Navigation Controls. By zooming in, Google Earth often provides high-resolution images that can show very detailed objects such as game trails, individual trees and rocks, and water features such as streams and springs. Another key feature that is helpful when scouting with Google Earth is the toolbar located at the top of the page. Within the toolbar, there are a couple of features that come in handy. The first is the ability to add place marks to your map. This is done by clicking the place mark icon on the toolbar menu at the top of the screen. A new placemark dialog box appears, and a new placemark icon is centered in the viewer inside a flashing yellow square. You're able to add a name and description for the placemark, as well as set the style, color, and icon for each placemark. Additionally, placemarks can be saved to folders, which allows you to organize your scouting notes by area, as well as turn on or turn off groups of placemarks. Another helpful feature in the toolbar is the ruler. The ruler allows you to measure distance, either from point to point, or as a total trip along a path made up of several points. This can be useful when trying to determine the distance from roads or access points to certain features or areas. Another incredibly handy feature in Google Earth is the ability to select the imagery date, or the date the image you are looking at was taken. This can be especially helpful in determining how much water there might be in a particular area during different months. Imagery isn't always updated very frequently, but you can select different dates to compare the amount of water in water holes from one month to the next, or to see how much green grass is in a certain area in different seasons. To select imagery dates, simply go to the View tab and then select Historical Imagery. This will place a slider at the top of the page that you can adjust to different available imagery dates. If I'm hunting a unit where water is a concern, I try to find a handful of images that were taken during the hunting seasons from previous years and verify whether water is likely to be available or non-existent. Another product that I found incredibly valuable when coupled with the power of Google Earth is a Hunt app membership by Onyx Maps. With this membership, you can virtually turn your cell phone into a fully functioning GPS unit. You can track your movements in the field and see land ownership information as well as trails, roads. All of this can even be downloaded so you have access to it offline without cell service. They have multiple base maps that you can overlay all of these features onto, and the Hunt app memberships are available for every state that has elk. If you're interested in the Hunt app membership, Onyx Maps offered to provide you with a 20% discount. Simply click on the banner found in the website or the app version and enter the code ELKMAP16 when you check out. Before I jump in and show you exactly how I use Google Earth to locate prime elk hunting locations, it's important to understand what to look for. Once you've settled on a unit or general area within a state, you need to find areas within that unit that will be most conducive to holding elk. And while locating those areas on Google Earth doesn't always translate directly to finding elk as soon as you put your boots on the ground, it definitely gives you a major head start. There are three primary features I look for when I scout using Google Earth: feed sources, water sources, and bedding areas. Since there are usually multiple features that can be identified within an area, I further narrow down these features by finding all three in close proximity to each other and at least 1 mile off an accessible road. If I can find food, water, and bedding in close proximity to each other at least 1 mile off the road, the chances of finding elk in that area are incredibly high. Food is a primary essential need for elk, and they'll usually spend time eating at least twice per day. Their primary feeding times are early morning and late evening, but it isn't uncommon for them to feed throughout the night or at different times during the day. However, it is important to note that elk will typically travel a fair distance from their bedding areas to their feed sources in the late evening and return from the feeding area to their bedding grounds the next morning. I'll go into a lot more detail on the regular habits of elk in the Elk Knowledge module, but knowing this basic information can help connect the travel patterns of elk when scouting with Google Earth. When I look for food sources on Google Earth, I'm looking for open ridges or open meadows where elk will find nourishing grasses and browse. While there are food sources available in other thicker areas, the nutrients found in low-lying grasses that grow in these open areas are their primary target in the fall. During feeding times, elk are often more readily spotted in these open areas, and my goal is to locate multiple open ridges or meadows on Google Earth. Water is another necessity for elk, and finding water sources can often be a key component to finding elk. Especially in hot, dry environments, elk will often concentrate their activities around sources of water. Water can be easy to locate on Google Earth, but it can also be misleading. Depending on the time of year the satellite image was taken, or the year it was taken, it may not be an accurate representation of the current water conditions in that area. For instance, if the image is from the spring of a very wet year, you might notice lush green valleys and benches throughout the image. However, if the next spring and summer were incredibly dry, the water sources you identified on Google Earth might not exist at all. It is usually possible to identify regular water sources, even in dry conditions, but it's worth noting that elk locations can and do change based upon their ability to find sustainable water sources. There are multiple features I look for on Google Earth to help identify water. Lush, green creek bottoms can indicate a year-round source of water. Ponds and lakes can be readily identified on Google Earth and might have a better chance of holding water even on dry years. In hot, dry climates like Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, and Nevada, you can often identify water tanks, which are man-made holding ponds where water is able to accumulate throughout the winter and spring months, and often provide elk with the only available water throughout the summer and fall. It is even possible to identify wallows and springs on Google Earth, which can provide hidden pockets of water the elk will often frequent. These areas can be incredibly valuable, especially if you find them close to a bedding area. Bedding areas can be a little more difficult to accurately identify. However, my go-to strategy for identifying these bedding areas is simple. Find a thick, north-facing slope. The north-facing slopes stay cooler longer throughout the day, which is often what the elk are looking for, especially in the hotter parts of the day, in the hotter parts of the fall. Additionally, the thicker vegetation that grows on north-facing slopes provides ample cover and security for the elk to rest with minimized threat of danger. If you can identify a bench or saddle adjacent to or on a north-facing slope, that can be a great location for elk to head to in the middle of the day. I'm sure you've heard it said that if you get half a mile off the road, you'll eliminate 90% of the other hunters. There is absolutely some truth to that. So once I find an area that has food, water, and bedding areas in relatively close proximity to each other, I eliminate the areas that are close to access. It's not a hard, fast rule, but if I can find those areas at least 1 mile from a road or a main point of access, that area will become the primary area for me to check out. I don't completely write off the areas that are near the roads, as some of those areas get completely overlooked and can be great spots to check out, but I do put more value on the areas that are going to be a little more difficult to get to. In most cases, private land does not get the same amount of hunting pressure as public land. However, many times the best feed, water, or bedding sources can be found on public land. Elk might retreat to the private land to escape hunting pressure, but oftentimes be forced to return to the public land, sometimes daily, to find food, water, or bedding. Many hunters will avoid hunting near private land simply because it can be frustrating to hear elk bugling or see elk across a fence line that's unhuntable. Additionally, the headache of constantly trying to figure out if you're on public or private in unmarked areas can be a chore all in itself. However, the possibilities of finding good elk numbers entering or leaving private land, combined with possible lower hunting pressure, can provide a great opportunity for a patient elk hunter. In these situations, it's vital to know where the public-private land boundaries are and to be able to keep tabs on them continually through the day. Again, OnX Maps and their hunt membership that can be downloaded and accessible on your digital device is a great resource to be able to keep track of that private land and to be able to navigate successfully and legally around private land and access public land areas that get right up close to it. With a firm understanding of these tools and how I use them, I can easily identify areas that are going to be more productive without even setting foot in the area. Reference the web version or the app version of this chapter to be able to watch the full video on how I use Google Earth to effectively scout new areas for elk. With this understanding of how to maximize your scouting using Google Earth and several areas identified that look promising for finding elk, we're ready to talk about getting out and into the field.